My name is Kelly L. I'm from Las Vegas. And as I already warned the people who were here, there may be some cursing involved. My father was in the Navy for 30 years, and so I learned from the best. I'm a teacher, so I try and keep it in check during the school year, so the summertime is when I can really let loose. So there may be cursing involved, and of course I teach drama, so singing and dancing is not off the table as well. So get ready. Are you ready to abstain from negative thinking?
Yeah.
No pressure. All right. So I love coming to the convention and the conference because I get to go and listen to other people. And they say stuff, and I think, oh, okay, well, they're wackadoo, but since I understand what they're saying, then I'm wackadoo, so we could be wackadoo together. And it's all good. And as I'm listening, I went to the emotional sobriety, and I went to some other workshops, and I'm thinking, goddamn, they're saying all my stuff. They're saying all my stuff. And I talked to Sue after, and I was like, you said everything that I wanted to say, only in emotional sobriety. What am I going to do? And she's like, you'll figure it out. And that accent that I love, and it was like that, you're not making me feel better. And she said, abstain from negative thinking. So I was thinking of some stuff, and it wasn't positive, but I kept it on the inside. So, and then last night, right, our speaker, oh my God, was he awesome? Was he fabulous? And it was so beautiful because I was sitting with some people who were sharing with me they were having those feelings of going out. Why am I doing this? Why do I continue? I can do this thing on my own. I have all the tools. I know the food plan. And then here comes this beautiful message, you know, of I can't do it alone. And I'm thinking, God damn, it's all my stuff. So at 11:58 last night, I'm still thinking, what am I going to talk about? Abstain from negative thinking. I'm having a little negative thinking. And I have to get up early so I can go and be awake and talk about abstaining from negative thinking. Negative thinking, negative thinking. Okay, see, that was a little tiny bit of singing. Get ready, because there's going to be more. Because as I said, I've already had 2 Diet Dr. Peppers, and look what I have. Okay. So, as I'm thinking, it's 11:58, and I'm watching HGTV because I'm addicted to that as well as Diet Coke. Because I don't watch the Food Network, only I do. But I try not to watch it. So I was thinking, you know, acronyms have been very, very big. Hi, come on in. It's safe. It's like a warm jacuzzi without the bubbles on. Did I warn you that I teach drama, and so I may skip around a little bit. So if I get off topic, if I get too positive, just let me know to get back to the negative thinking, and I'll do what I can. All right, so I was thinking, what do I get when I abstain from negative thinking? So I got my little acronym out, and here's what I get. I get abstinence, absolutely. I get blessings. I get serenity. I get support. I get trust. I get trust, I give trust. It's fabulous. I get acceptance. Acceptance from myself, acceptance from my higher power, acceptance from other people in program. I get integrity. Integrity in the things that I do, in my reactions to people. I'm more integrity laden, if that makes sense. I live my life with some integrity instead of that whirling dervish that goes through and just creates havoc and then keeps going and it doesn't matter what I've done because that's for you to figure out my mess. I get to live with integrity. And I get a new life and I get nirvana. And I had to look up nirvana because I'm thinking, well, nirvana doesn't sound right. It sounds all woo-hoo. So I had to look it up. And, of course, I have my iPhone because it's too much trouble to go down to the business thing and look on their computer, so I get out my handy iPhone. It's now like 12:02, right? I'm looking up Nirvana. And, of course, it has heaven, but it said extreme happiness. That's Nirvana. That's what I get. That's what I get when I abstain. Abstain from food, from negative thinking, toxic people, family. So did I say cursing was going to be involved? If I start talking about my family, just get ready, because there's going to be words. I know, but we're here to abstain from negative thinking. Remember, when if I get too positive, bring me back, bring me back. All right. So then I had to think, all right, those are all things that I get when I abstain. And I have to work at that. But what do I get when I am not abstaining? Abstaining from food, from toxic people, from negative thinking. Well, I get antagonistic. I get bondage. I slog. I'm stubborn. I starve. I starve my soul. I toil. I thwart myself. I abandon myself and others. I'm insecure. I'm impulsive. I invalidate myself and others. And I nullify. Nullify myself, my feelings, other people. And so I have to look at what I want. Do I want abstinence and blessings and nirvana? Or do I want fighting and toil and hardship? What do I want? And as I thought about it, you know, 13 years ago, 6 months, and 28 days and one meal, I wanted the right hand. I wanted bondage, and I wanted to toil, and I wanted to work hard. But I didn't know that's what I wanted, because I thought that's just what life was. Life is unhappy, and you work hard, and hopefully you have some money at the end when you get old, so you can sit on your couch and eat with abandon, and watch TV, and if you're lucky, you get to travel somewhere. Right? And then I was working at UNLV. I was a graduate student, working toward my second master's so I could go be a teacher. Poor children. So I'm at UNLV, and I'm working as a graduate student, and I'm in this office, right? I stopped weighing at 275 pounds, so I really don't know how much I weighed when I came in. So my weight, I take from that 275. So hopefully it's a couple of pounds more that I've lost, released, given away, never to get back, I hope. But I have to take it from that 275 because that was the last weigh-in. So here I am. I'm 5'4 and 3/4. My doctor says I can say I'm 5'5. So you know, I'm sitting on 5'5. I weigh, you know, upwards of 300 pounds. Negative, bad attitude. I mean, I was a bitch. I was just unpleasant to be around. And my life was unpleasant, so since you're around me, I'm going to make your life unpleasant too. Because we should all be unhappy together. But if you asked me that, I couldn't have told you that. I couldn't have said, I'm unhappy and I want to make you unhappy too so we can be unhappy together. Right? I was one of those people, if you walked down, you're like, hi, good morning. I'd be like, that's you. Like, what are you so happy about? Like, we're going to die someday. You know, like, you know, just unhappy. And I didn't see the point to life. I wasn't actively trying to kill myself, but I was absolutely killing myself because what did I do? To nullify my feelings, to not feel, to not participate, right? I went and ate a whole bunch of food so I could numb out and be negative. Because negative was a lot more fun than being happy at that point in time. So here I am in this office. I'm learning how to be a teacher to, like, help young people go and be, you know, successful, productive, positive, right? So here I am, and here comes in this office, like almost 6 feet tall, blonde, perky hooties, hey boo, beautiful, beautiful, right? And I'm thinking, there is not one thing wrong with you. And she tells me about this program. It's like, going to no program with fat people. Right? So here she is, right? Barbie is in my office. And she's telling me about this program. And I'm like, why do you need a program? You're perfect. And she's like, oh, I don't like this and I don't like that. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what? And, yeah, see, that's what happens. No, I haven't had enough Diet Coke, apparently. All right, so I've only had two. It's like it's early. So here I am in this office, right, and she tells me about this program, but she doesn't go anymore. She goes to another program. And I was like, I'm not going with no fat people, right? How's that for grammar? Like, I teach English. I don't go with no fat people. It's summertime. That's what I get. All right. I'm on vacation. So through no effort on my part, I find myself one Saturday morning walking into this meeting. Well, first of all, it's Saturday morning. I haven't seen a Saturday morning in 20 years at this time. You know, 2 o'clock was Saturday morning. So here I am at 9:29. The meeting starts at 9:30. Here I find myself walking into this meeting. I'm one of the large, there were like 3 big people, and I'm one of them. I walk in, and this little hobbit grabs me and hugs me and says hi. And for those of you who've been to this meeting, you know exactly who I'm talking about. She grabs me and hugs me. Hi, so glad you're here. And I'm like, ew. Right? And I look around, and I see all these happy people in various stages of weight, up, down, whatever. I'm one of the largest people in the room, and I'm like, oh, fuck no. I want nothing to do with these fat people. I'm the biggest one in the room. But there I was judging. Right? And that was my first introduction to an awareness of maybe my thinking is a little off. Maybe, yeah, thank you. Maybe it's a little off. I wasn't too sure. Let me figure, you know, right? So at the end of the meeting, everybody's like, hi, get a sponsor, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, no, thank you. So Barbie told me about this woman who was her sponsor. That's her name. Now, here's the funny thing, all right? We worked in this office together for a semester at UNLV. She left. I don't know if she became a teacher. I've never seen her again in 13 years, 7 months, or 6 months, and 28 days, and a meal. Never seen her again. Ever. And Las Vegas, right? It's kind of a big town, but it's not that big if you're a teacher. Right? You're going to see somebody somewhere. Have never seen her again in 13 years, 6 months, and 28 days, and a meal. So, is that a higher power thing? Right, but if you'd asked me 13 years ago, I would have said, higher power, whatever. So she tells me, oh, you need to get this woman as your sponsor. Well, I go and the woman's not there. Woo! I'm never coming back to this meeting ever. Right? Well, the next Saturday, through no effort of my own, here I am at this Saturday meeting. And the woman is there. And I go up and I ask her, I say, can you be my sponsor? No, I'm not. Oh, good. Well, so-and-so told me, but if you're good, oh, she says, oh, Barney said, oh, well, sure. And here we are. So that's where I come from with that abstain from negative thinking. Really? Feelings. Oh. So... So I've already said the F word and goddamn, so like, and singing, so I have nowhere to go but down from there. Right. It's always nice when you have a cooperative audience who laughs at your jokes. When you teach high school, sometimes it's not that exciting. Alright. So, it's now 12:03 and I've looked up Nirvana and I'm sitting up there thinking, everybody's stolen everything I want to say about abstain from negative thinking. What am I going to say? Experience strength, what am I going to say to these people? And then I start, well, nobody's going to be there because it's Sunday and everybody's going to sleep in and they're packing and nobody's going to be there. So, it's okay. No, you're somebody. But that's what I want to say. Is that negative thinking is pervasive and it's insidious once you get some time in program. Because 13 years ago, when I first started in program, the negative thinking was easy to identify. So easy, right? Judging myself, judging others, judging their outside with my inside. That negative thinking was easy to identify. And now I have to be vigilant. I have to look at what I'm doing and what I'm saying because if I am not vigilant, that negative thinking kicks my ass. Last night, 12:04, what the hell am I going to talk about? Negative thinking, abstaining from negative thinking. What am I going to say to these people? What do I have to give? And that's where my mind goes. And it's subtle. What do I have to give to these people? They just heard an excellent speaker who was powerful. What do I have to give? They just heard this wonderful workshop on emotional sobriety. What do I have to give? What am I going to say that's going to touch them, that's going to be interesting, that's going to help them in their program? What do I have? And so, in good educational fashion, I start at the beginning. Because I can't go anywhere. I can't start at the end. I have to start at the beginning. What? Oh, it's my sponsor. Should I answer? No. I told her to leave her booth. I should hide. Be like, hi! So, I got to turn my phone off. Hi. So, you know, now it's 12:05, and I'm thinking, oh, I got to go to bed. Whatever I say is whatever I say. Nobody will be there. It won't matter anyway. And if I suck, who cares? Negative thinking. So how do I stop the negative thinking? Right? And so I have to laugh at myself, because here I am thinking about negative thinking, and it's all negative. So I said, okay, right? I'm a teacher. I can do this. I got skills. So I get out my phone, and I have to start at the beginning. And so I thought, well, I think I know what negative means, and I think I know what thinking means, but let me look them up. Because sometimes what I think is not really the truth. So I looked up negative. And negative means, according to Merriam-Webster and other dictionaries, marked by opposition or ill will, opposed to one's interest. Okay. It doesn't mean bad. It doesn't mean shame. It means opposed to my will. Or my interest. Sorry. See, self will run riot. Thinking. Right? If you're talking... Hold on, because I'm old. But purple is the best color. Yay, thank you. All right. So thinking. If you want to use it as an adjective, it means using thought or rational judgment, as opposed to pondering, or if you prefer a noun, the process of using one's mind to consider or reason about something. So negative thinking is opposing my rational thought, right? So negative thinking isn't about being a bad person. It's not about doing something that's shameful. It's about thinking in a way that is opposite to my best interest. So that gives me a whole new place to go about negative thinking. And then just because I'm on a roll, right, it's like 12:10, I looked up abstinence. What does abstain mean? Because I think I know it means give up entirely, never to see it again. Right? I wish I could abstain from cats, but they keep finding me. I'm down to 3. And I have pictures, if you want to see them. What? I heard that. Pipe down in the back. Pipe down. All right. So abstinence. The act or practice. This is the part I like. Practice. The act or practice of refraining from indulgent appetite or desire. Indulgent. So indulgent, right? So now I'm really on a roll, like it's 12:07, right? Indulgent. Readiness or over-readiness to be generous or lenient with someone. Lenient, permissive, yielding. Right? And I don't know about you, but I had a couple of slips here and there. And if your sponsor is anything like the sponsors I've had, there's a question that you have to answer where you look up all of these words. Who's done that? Okay, how many times have you done it? Like, I've done it a couple. So I'm a good looker-upper. But if I start thinking about my abstinence, I'm practicing abstaining from indulgence, something that hurts me. I'm abstaining from sugar and white flour, but I'm also abstaining from the things that are toxic to me. And my brain is toxic to me. Take it in. Okay, see, this side of the room, I like you more than them, because you're laughing. My brain is toxic to me. We are the champions, my friends. So when I start thinking in those terms, then I can break it down. Because now, 13 years, 6 months, 28 days, and one meal, I'm no longer on the edge of clinging with my fingertips to abstinence. I can't say that the food is not a problem, because if the food was not a problem, then I would have it licked, I wouldn't need to come to meetings, I wouldn't need you, I wouldn't need to be here to talk about abstaining from negative thinking. But as it was pointed out last night, negative thinking is a large part of our disease, and it's what I do. As I just said last night, I'm sitting on my couch. What do I have to give you? And that's negative thinking. And the negative thinking now is so subtle that many times I have to stop and I have to say, what? Why am I thinking that? For example, yesterday, in line at lunch. I'm looking at lunch, it looks beautiful, it's green, it's leafy, got all this stuff. And then they have the protein, the beans. I was like, oh, I have beans. Hope they don't have sugar. Are they baked beans? Right? Have they put sugar in anything yet? Right? But that's where I go. I'm going to judge because I don't trust. Right? So then I think, well, I'm not having those. Well, then I get to the end where they have fish. Well, I dislike fish more than I dislike beans. So guess what I ended up having for lunch yesterday? Nope. Because I don't like the chicken because it has the bones. I got a little brace issue. So this is where my higher power comes in. And my higher power says, Nina, Nina, Nina. Right? Abstain from negative thinking. And it's so subtle that I don't realize I'm judging the lunch. Right? So we get here on Thursday, and I became the chair of my area through no fault of my own. They voted, and I was there, and I was like, okay. And then I was like, what just happened? So now I'm the chair of my area. And so we had this big meeting, and I get all this negative thinking and judgment about the people around me, the hotel, what's going on. But really, I'm fretful. Fretful is not the right word. I'm fearful of being the chair of my area. I'm fearful of doing something wrong. I'm fearful of making a mistake. I don't want to make a mistake because supposedly I'm a smart individual. Supposedly I have my shit together. Right? Shit loosely. Supposedly, I have all this time in program. Supposedly, I'm on top of my game. But yet, here come these feelings of fear. So instead of acknowledging, saying, holy crap, I hope I don't mess up the meeting and the area, and I don't want anybody to know that I don't know what I'm doing, instead of saying all of that, well, I'm going to get pissy about what you're eating. Right? Negative thinking. How do I abstain from negative thinking? The first thing I have to do is acknowledge that there is an underlying emotion that brings up judgment, that brings up a willingness to be negative rather than look at what I need to look at. So I had to write, so now it's like 12:09 and I'm still like, okay, I got all these great definitions. Still got some negative thinking, because now I'm thinking, oh, I'm never going to have enough rest. I'm going to be cranky. But I've already projected that I'm going to be mean to you, and then you're not going to like me, and then you're all going to walk out and be like, oh, well, she was a real bitch. And then so then this morning I've got myself on, and then I'm like, wow, I hope they won't be able to see my purple underpants through my skirt, because then they're going to think I don't know how to dress. I'm not looking at my butt to see if you can see it, huh? All right. So, can you see it, really? Okay. Well, liar. All right. So, but that's what I want to say. After a certain amount of time, that negative thinking is so subtle, like I don't even realize that I'm thinking negatively about myself, and I'm projecting it onto you. Because I've already gone through, talk about my judgment of other people, how I judge them, how I judge myself, and now it's internal. And I have to be very careful how I use that internalized talk to myself. Because I can beat myself up over something simple like the skirt I'm wearing, and will people judge me? And before anything even happens, before I'm even dressed, I've already made a projection of what's going to happen. Well, that's negative thinking. Right? So I have to be very careful about my thinking, what I'm thinking about, and how I take that thinking and I use it. Because, right, the workshop is, how do I abstain? Well, it's practice. I can't stop negative thinking. That's how I was wired. That's how I was brought up. My parents were negative thinkers. Everything was negative, right? Everything was the worst case scenario. I have not looked at that. Has anybody ever looked at that book, like What to Do in the Worst Case Scenario? I got to get one of those because that would really help me out. But everything was the worst case scenario. Everything was negative, right? It wasn't, I'm going to go have a positive, pleasant day and meet nice people who want to see me, right? It's like, oh, crap, I got to go to Walmart and I'm going to stand in line behind all the people who are paying for everything in rolls of pennies. And then I'm going to get home and the cat will have thrown up and I'm going to have to clean that up, right? I don't think in positive terms. So every day when I wake up, that meditation is so important to me. It's number one. Because when I don't meditate, and it could be as little as 5 minutes, it could be the serenity prayer. I teach high school, so let me say the serenity prayer is said a lot in my room. And my students know by the end of the year, if I'm like, serenity. And that's all I have to do because they know. I tell them right away, right? Sometimes Miss L needs to take a time out. And Miss L is going to have some serenity. And so at the end, by the end of the year, we all, serenity, right? And you know what? They do it for fun a lot of times, but I can see them when they don't think I'm looking, because that's what we do. We teachers, we look at you when you don't think we're looking. Right? And I can see them, and I can see them go, and it's like, it's so awesome, because I know, even if it doesn't mean the same thing to them as it does to me, I know they're taking that moment to pause, to think, and I need that pause. Oh, I need the pause, because I teach high school. Right? And school, I don't know what time school starts in your life or for your children, but my day starts at 7:05, period one. Juniors, they know stuff. And they like to tell you how much they know. And if they don't know and they think you don't know, they get out their phone to find out to tell you that you don't know. So by 7:06, we've had some serenity already. And I say that in jest, but truly, that brings me back to I'm having some negative thinking. Because if I don't take that moment in the morning when I walk in at 7 o'clock and I'm already off kilter and those students come in, those poor unsuspecting students, right, then I've already set up my day to to be terrible. Oh, you don't have your homework? Yeah, too bad for you. You suck. Sit down.
Right?
Who wants that from a teacher? Or, if I meditate, I can be caring, I can be compassionate, I can say, oh, too bad, 10%, but turn it in tomorrow. Right? Because I have honors and they have to turn it in anyway, you know. But it's that abstain from negative thinking. How do I do that? Well, I have to be aware. I have to be aware. I have to notice. And sometimes I don't notice. And that's the beauty of my sponsor, because I call her and she says, have you thought about that? No. Why should I think about that? That's just what I think, and I'm right. Oh, really? Well, have you thought about A, B, C, D? Maybe. And then I get to write. It's awesome. Yeah, I know, right? So, but I need that reflection, right? My sponsor, my meetings are a mirror back to me. And if I'm abstaining from negative thinking, the mirror shows me a nice reflection. And if I'm not abstaining from negative thinking, I get it back, right back at me. In the meetings, I get some compassion. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Tell me. You're making phone calls. How's your writing? What's going on? What are your feelings? Right? I get some compassion. I get understanding. But if I'm at Walmart, I'm not getting any compassion. Right? And I spiral into the negative thinking. And so that's what I want to say. If you've just started, if you're just new, don't worry. The negative thinking is normal. Normal? I've never been normal at anything ever in my life. Except negative thinking. And we live in a world that is filled with negative thinking. We are the happiest people I know. And, you know, we're going through stuff. We're going through life. So we can still be happy and show up and have negative things. Negative things is not the same as negative thinking. Negative things happen in life. Car wrecks. Death. Losing a job. Right? Those are big things. For me, it's breaking a toenail when I'm running. Breaking a toenail when you're running, it hurts. Right? But if I focus on only negative thinking, then I'm just in the negative thinking. It's how do I get out of that? And number one is that meditation, the serenity prayer, calling my sponsor. It's working the tools. And so I wanted to give you a chance to share, because even though I could talk a lot, because I'm a teacher and that's what we do, and I've been told that I like to hear myself talk. I think I have some good stuff to say, you know what I'm saying? But I never listen to the recordings because my voice is like Daffy Duck. I don't know what it is. But I sound a lot better now than I do on the recording. So all of you who are listening to Daffy Duck, like, I'm sorry, but that's what I got. So I wanted to talk briefly about a couple of other things. Abstaining from negative thinking. And we were talking last night at my table. We were listening to this powerful message. And I was so grateful to be there. So grateful. Because even though I knew I had to come here this morning and do this whole abstain from negative thinking, and I'm in my negative thinking, I realized that even though I'm here and I'm having my negative thinking, that I'm going to go and I'm going to be with people who understand. I don't have to explain that this is how I'm wired, and you know, you get it. And so I was at a meeting a couple of months ago when the speaker was talking about the disease being a terrorist. And you know, she had this great share, and I said, oh, I'm going to steal that. And she was like, don't steal it, just use it. Okay. I said, okay, it was good. It was a good analogy. You know, the disease is a terrorist. And the terrorist wants nothing more than to kill me. To take me out. At any cost. and my tools, my program, is like the TSA at the airport, right? And I was thinking about this as I was going through the airport, right? I'm in Washington, D.C., and I'm going through the line, and I got to take off my shoes. And then I go through the thing, and they stop me. They got to pat me down because I had a hair tie, you know, that had the little metal tiny thing on it, right? I had a ponytail. I'm like, all that because of that? And then I smile. It was a little negative thinking because I was like, really? Like, you got the guy with the four bags back here, like he thinks he's getting on the plane with all of that. He's taking out baggies. They don't pat him down, but I got a hair tie, and they're patting me down like, you know. I was like, roll eyes and breathe. Thank you for keeping us safe. So, negative thinking. And it's subtle. It's a terrorist, and that terrorist wants to bring me down. But my program is the TSA. And, but I have to remember, the TSA can only do so much. They have rules. The terrorist doesn't have any rules. Right? The terrorist can do whatever it wants, whenever it wants, how it wants, why it wants, when it wants, to bring me down. The TSA has to have rules. Right? We have seven tools. But if I use those seven tools, I can keep the terrorists, hopefully, at bay. Does that make sense? Another analogy I like to use is that my mind, which is toxic to me as we've discovered, my mind is a dark alley in a dark town, right? At night, 2 a.m., with no street lights. I do not walk down the street alone because there's stuff in the dark, right? And that's my mind, that dark alley in the dark town with no street lights, with no one to help me unless I bring my tools. And then I got a flashlight to look in the dark corners. Does that make sense? And I think of all of these analogies, and I think, well, what does it get me? How do I abstain? How do I do it? It's fine to talk about, well, we abstain from negative thinking. Right? I can't. God can. Let him. Well, how do I let him? How do I let him? That's the big question. Well, it's all of those tools. And we were talking about this last night. And when I first came into program, I was on that pink cloud. Right? I lost 90 pounds in about 8 months. I was awesome. Or so I thought. Awesome. And then I went to Scotland to do my student teaching. Well, they have a lot of pubs in Scotland with stuff in the pub. And I was looking pretty good. And all of my boyfriends I'd had to that point were, I couldn't really call them boyfriends. They were sort of people I paid to, like, go to the movies with me and sit in the dark and eat food. But when I got to Scotland, yeah. Because there wasn't anything more interesting than that going on. But you know what? In the movie theater, it's in the dark. You could eat food. Like, what? It's in the dark. There's food involved. It's a movie. I don't have to talk. I don't have to think. I don't have to feel. I don't have to talk to you and figure out what you think or you feel. Because who cares what you think or what you feel? It's all about me. And we both have our own tubs, so we don't have to share. So here I go, right? So I lose all of this weight. I go to Scotland where they have lots of pubs and they have a lot of sugary, floury things, both liquid and, you know, solid to partake of in the pubs, right? And so I'm doing my student teaching and here and I have this teacher, I don't even know where what we were doing, but he's giving me a ride home, right? He's married. So here I am, I have no filter at this point. And he says something like, I really feel attracted to you. And in my mind I'm thinking, holy shit balls. Right? Because nobody's ever said, I'm really attracted to you. I like you. Thank you for taking me to the movies. when do you want to go out and eat again? Nobody ever said, I think I'm really attracted to you, and I may have peed my pants a little bit, I don't remember. And I was like, holy shit balls. And so we're sitting in the car, right? And I'm like, well, I think you should just drive me back to the college.
And he's like, what?
I said, you could just drive me back to St. Andrews. I think it's best. I mean, I had no idea what to do, but, and now I think, because that was my opportunity. But that's my higher power saving me from myself, right? Married guy, Scottish, I'm Scottish, so that's why I went to Scotland for my student teaching, so two strikes against him already, Scottish and teacher, they don't even make any money, come on. But then, right, I get back to St. Andrews, and it's that negative thing. Well, he was just saying that to be nice. He doesn't really think that. I'm an American. Maybe he just wants, all of that negative thinking. And now, all of this time later, I realize negative thinking, I'm beating myself up. And last night I was thinking about that as I'm going through this next part, and I'm thinking, all right, so there are three levels to our recovery. Physical, emotional, spiritual, right? Well, there are three levels of our negative thinking. And they're on a continuum. They're on a ladder. Like, sometimes I'm up the ladder, sometimes I'm down, sometimes I'm ascending, sometimes I hit a bad rung or the rung breaks and down I go. But I'm on the ladder. I'm not on the ground anymore. I'm on the ladder. And I'm working, right? But the negative thinking, judgment, resentment, abandonment, resentment of others, judgment of others, abandonment of others. If I can't be present in my own life, I can't be present in your life. But it's also that judgment of myself, abandonment of myself, resentment of myself and the things that I've done or didn't do. I still beat myself up for being a junior in high school and weighing over 200 pounds, and I took dance. And our final exam was to do a dance by ourselves, right? So I did the big group dance. I did the little group dance. But our final was to do a dance by ourselves in front of the whole class. And you know what? I was like, oh, no. Because, of course, and I grew up in Fairbanks, Alaska, and there were 80 people in my graduating class. So I can safely say that I was the biggest person in the entire school. And there was no way in hell, God's green earth, another planet, an alternate universe, that I was going to get up and do a dance in front of these girls, and many of them were cheerleaders in my class. There was no way I was getting up to do a dance in front of them, ever. So I willingly sat and said, oh no, no thank you, and got a D. And I tell this story to my students, because they don't know I'm talking about negative thinking, but I put it in terms of, I regret the things that I didn't do. Because, man, if I had the balls then to do that dance and be, 220 pounds, I just think of the freedom that I would have had in life and all the opportunities that I could have taken, but that negative thinking, fear of judgment. And who cares? Who really cares that I got up and did a dance? Nobody. They probably don't even remember. But 30 years later, 31 years, yeah. Okay, do the math. I still remember that. I remember that day. I remember that day. And the teacher was like, Kelly? And I was like, no. Come on, Kelly. And all the class was like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, no. Right? I remember the day clearly going out, right, to the softball field, and it's springtime, Fairbanks, it's gorgeous, there's still a little snow, but it's 65 degrees, so it's like, woo, sweaty weather. And, they all have their shorts and their t-shirts on, and I got my big, gray, long sweatpants that are like two sizes too big, and I was already 2X, so you can imagine, these are voluminous. Right? everybody's jumping over the fence because they don't want to walk around, so I heave myself up over the fence and I get caught on the top. Right? Oh, yeah, that's what the clap sounded like. Thank you for bringing that back. So I'm on the top, and boys are laughing, and girls, of course, are humiliated for me. And I finally get myself off, and I've ripped my pants down on the inside, right? My thighs are all hanging out. And so I didn't exercise, you know, for another 25 years. I tried hard. Yeah, I bought gym memberships, and then I sat at home. And I got, who remembers Richard Simmons? God bless his little heart. I got his dancing to, I don't even remember, it wasn't Swing to the Oldies, it was one other where they had all the big girls and big boys, and I just can't even remember. And I would do the, I'd be like, and then I would eat some stuff, and I'd be like, yeah, I'm working hard. But that negative thinking, it kicks my ass every time. And I have to remember, I'm recovering on three levels. Physical. And that negative thinking about my physical self is still present. Right? I look around the room and I think, oh, I work so hard. I'm running all these fracking marathons and I'm doing triathlons and I'm taking a test on Tuesday to be a personal trainer. I hope I don't flunk. Send me some karma. Right? I'm doing all of this stuff and yet when I don't wear shorts. Because if I wear shorts, you can see my thighs, and then my judgment of myself, I project on you. Oh, they're all looking at my thighs and how wiggly they are, and they're looking at the stretch marks. Right? When, truth be known, you could care less about my thighs because you're worried about your own. But because I'm all about me, right, you're looking at my thighs. Right? And then we're back to, well, my blue shirt and my blue skirt don't match, and is my skirt too thin? Do you see my purple underpants? Do you see it? Right. See, the people who came in late, you missed the first butt thing, so sorry. Right? Because it's all about me and that negative thinking, and that's what I want to get at. It's subtle. It's subtle. And when I indulge in negative thinking, when it's frivolous, I only hurt myself, and I project my negativity onto you. And who wants to be around a negative person? Right? Said nobody ever. Yeah, give me the negative people all day, twice on Sunday. Woo! You can laugh. That was funny. See, okay, I'm coming over to you guys. It's much better. All right. So when I abstain from negative thinking, and the part I go back to that definition, it's practice. I can't do it all by myself. I certainly don't do it perfectly. Right? I'm a negative thinker. I'm going to probably have some negative thinking later on. See how I already projected on myself? I'm going to be a negative thinker. Right? But I'm practicing abstaining. I'm practicing by working the seven tools, by calling my sponsor, by saying, you know what? I'm having some shitty thoughts. I don't feel good about whatever. I don't feel good physically, I don't feel good spiritually, and my negative thinking is in direct proportion to my spiritual fitness. If I'm right with my higher power, my negative thinking is lessened, or I'm more aware of it, and I can do something about it. But if I'm not right with my higher power, and that means conscious, in tune, because I can meditate and be thinking about what I have to do today. If I'm sitting quietly and I'm still thinking about the 87 things that I have to do before 8 o'clock tonight, then I'm not meditating. I'm not getting conscious with my higher power. And that sets me up. That sets me up. I set my own self up. Remember, I have a toxic brain. I set myself up. So when I abstain from negative thinking, doesn't mean that I get rid of the negative thinking. To me, it means that I recognize. I can recognize the subtlety because my negative thinking is no longer, ooh, I'm a horrible bad person and I need to do something about that. I don't think I'm a horrible bad person anymore. but I do think I'm a work in progress. I don't think I'm a shameful person, but I still have shame that I need to work on, and that's my negative thinking. Like, I think, oh, are these, is this too tight? They can see my belly roll. See, now you're all looking at my stomach. Right? Negative thinking. And I don't even have to think about negative thinking, it's just there. And I have to acknowledge that, oh, I think they're judging me because of the clothes I'm wearing. That's negative thinking. Right? It's a judgment against myself. But when I'm aware, I can remember, they don't care about your clothes. They're caring about their clothes. They're caring about themselves. When I take myself out of it, right, and I remember that I'm the only one really worried about myself. Everybody's worried about themselves. When I remember I'm a compulsive eater, I'm super sensitive, then I can remember I must do something to alleviate, abstain from the negative thinking. I can't stop the negative thinking. Maybe someday it will go away, and I pray for that. But until that time that it is removed, the only thing I can do is abstain. And I abstain by calling myself out, by recognizing, by listening to my sponsor when she says, oh, have you thought about that? Oh, thank you. Thank you for bringing it up. Perhaps you should write in the big book on page 63. Really? But I've been doing that for 2 months. Well, perhaps we need to delve a little deeper. Thanks, sponsor. And when I'm spiritually fit, I can more easily recognize when I'm being negative and when I'm projecting that on you. And I just want to say, before I give you a chance to share, because I've been talking a lot, I hope it's been helpful. All right, so this gives us a lot of time for sharing. So I just wanted to say a couple of final things, unless I think of a really funny story, and then I'll tell you another funny story. And I didn't do a whole lot of singing, but maybe I'll sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star at the end. I don't know. Whatever comes to me. So, say that again. Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, how I wonder what you are. And I'm digging that outfit. Look at you, you little hot number. Say thank you. Because, you know, she's thinking, oh, and everybody's looking at me and they're looking at my shirt. What? Well, that's what I have to remember. That's what I have to remember because somebody, I was talking about my braces the other day and how everything gets stuck in my braces. And I'm talking about my jaw. Okay, here's negative thinking. I had to get braces to move my jaw. It wasn't just for the straight teeth, although. So then hopefully they're coming off in October. But, so last year, this is, 2011, right, I was at my dentist, and my jaw is getting worse and worse. Not TMJ, but my jaw was moving because the tendons and the muscles and blah are all fracked up, right? See, look at, I said fracked instead of dental. Alright, so my jaw's all messed up. So I'm at the dentist. Here's this for negative thinking, right? So the dentist says, you're really going to have an issue in 5 to 10 years. You're not going to be able to eat solid food. Okay, did we all collectively say, holy shit, balls on your front? So I'm like, oh, I'm a compulsive eater like you, dude. Well, okay. I was about to say, you don't know how I feel about my leafy greens, but I'm sure that you do. So, and I'm thinking, no solid food, what? Right? So, here's my choice. I can have my jaw broken and reset and have it wired shut for 6 to 8 weeks and hope that that solves the problem. May not solve the problem, may make the problem worse, right? There's no guarantee, break my jaw. Or I could have braces, right? The braces, no guarantee, but, right, so far everything seems to be working out. Okay, high compulsive eater. I had to think about it for 6 months. Break jaw, braces. Because if I break my jaw and my jaw is wired shut, I get to eat liquid food, and then I lose more weight, and then I reach my goal weight. Hi! Compulsive eater, toxic brain! How many people would think about breaking the jaw? Oh, come on! There are more of you! Right? But I had to think about it. Breaking my jaw, it would be worth it. Because where does my negative thinking go? Oh, braces. Everybody's going to laugh at me. Braces. I had braces when I was little. They didn't work. It's going to be a lot of money. I could break my jaw. No guarantees. But I got to be on a liquid diet for 6 to 8 weeks. Then I'll lose some weight. Hi. Compulsive eater right here. So how do I abstain from negative thinking? I had to do a lot of writing and talking to my sponsor. What are the benefits of breaking my jaw? Abstain from negative thinking. That just means I get to sing more now. Singing! So if you ever have the choice of breaking your jaw or get the braces, I would say go with the braces, but to each his own. So anyway, back to the negative thinking. We're talking about my braces. I got my little rubber bands, and I got all my, you know, my second lunch all stuck in there, and I'm trying to pick it out. And, you know, the ladies I was sitting with, they were like, oh, you have a beautiful smile. And I was like, yeah. Right? Because I can't take a compliment. And I never used to think that was negative thinking. I thought it was being, oh, I'm just being humble. Right? Well, I can't take a compliment because I don't think I'm worth it. And that's where that subtle negative thinking comes in. That's what I have to work on now. Right? That subtle negative thinking. Oh, you don't deserve to wear the tight clothes because you still have the belly pooch. Right? You shouldn't wear shorts because your thighs are gross. And that's a kind word that I tell myself. It's that self-flagellation, that self-feeding, that subtle negative thinking. That's what I have to work on today. Because if I'm beating myself up, it makes it a whole hell of a lot easier to beat you up. If I'm judging myself, it makes it so easy to judge you. And if I'm judging you, I don't have to worry about myself. Right? But when my sponsor turns it back on me, but when she turns it back on me, it reminds me, I'm here for myself. I'm not here to make my family happy. I'm not here to make my sponsor happy. I'm not here to be skinny. I'm here to be alive. And one of the ways that I get to be alive, ooh, look at you, get to sit in the front row. The winners are in the front row. Scooby-Doo. So, back to my handy list. Because now it's like 12:15, and I was like, I really need to go to bed. And did I get any sleep? No. So since I'm not driving home, I could take a nap. So, the thing that I had to think about was, what does abstain mean? It means I'm practicing giving up indulgent thought. Indulgent negative thought. Not all thought. But those indulgent thoughts that hurt myself, that make me want to hurt myself, that make me want to hurt other people physically, emotionally, spiritually. So on my three levels of recovery, emotional, physical, spiritual, negative thinking affects all of them, and it affects them by judgment, by abandonment. And abandonment is a big one. I'm working on that. And I abandon myself in so many ways. By not accepting a compliment, I abandon myself by saying I'm not worth it. By sitting on my couch at 12:07 going over all of this, thinking, what do I have to give to you in my 13 years? what do I have to give? Well, hopefully I have something. Right? Hopefully. Right, I'm back to the drawing board. But what I get when I abstain, when I practice, and maybe abstain is not the right word for the negative thinking, maybe it's the practice of letting it go, because I take back my negative thinking so easily, so quickly, without even knowing it sometimes. But what I get is acceptance of myself. Acceptance of my world. I'm a compulsive eater. That is my world. I don't get anything else if I don't acknowledge that and work on that. I don't get to go to my job, which I love, and be successful, be productive, be engaging, help my students be all of those things. I can't do that if I'm eating food and I think they're a nuisance. Right? But I get acceptance of others, of where they're at. The lady in the Walmart, right, who's paying with pennies, that's where she's at. Maybe pennies are all she has. Well, I used to live in my car, right? That was a long, long time ago. But I forget that, and I judge, and I have to bring it back, that negative thinking. And remember, everybody's on their own ladder. Some people are at the bottom. Some people don't even have their foot on the rung yet. I'm sort of like 2 steps in. I got a ways to go, you know. But I get trust myself, trust my judgment. And I hear this story a lot of judgment and judging are two different things. If I'm using good judgment, I'm not going to step out in the street in front of a bus, because I've decided that's probably not going to be a good thing. But if I'm judging the bus driver for driving past me, right, I get into negative thinking. Well, maybe the bus was full. Maybe he's off shift and there's another bus coming. Right? I don't know what's going on. The road narrows and I have to keep the focus on myself. And when I get acceptance, when I get trust, well, then I get some serenity and I get peace. Not all the time, not every day, but I get more and more and more of it, and more days, and more moments than I had 13 years, 6 months, and 28 days and 1 meal ago, if that makes sense. So, I'm from Las Vegas, by the way. Hello. So I'm going to open up this microphone. It's supposed to be on. Remember, you have to sign the attractive sheet, and remember to put a little picture next to your name just for the fun of it. And, you know, I had my acronym at the beginning, right? What do I get when I abstain? I get abstinence. I get blessings. Oh, what happened to my sheet? Oh, it's right here. I get abstinence, blessings, serenity, trust, acceptance, integrity, new life. Nirvana. Ooh. I hit my tooth. Somebody's going to hear that. Somebody's going to take it and be like, clump. What the hell was that? It was my tooth hitting the microphone, people listening. So remember, Nirvana, extreme happiness. When I'm not abstaining from negative thinking, when I'm in my toxic brain, when I'm in that deep, dark alley with no flashlight, well, really, I should just say whatever's in the deep, dark alley and I don't have a flashlight, they should really be more afraid than I should be, because I'm a force to be reckoned with. Well, in my own mind, right? I'm a legend in my own mind, right? But when I'm not abstaining, what I give up or what I get is antagonistic. I like to fight. I get bondage of self. I slog. I'm stubborn, hard-headed, not that you would ever recognize that, right? I toil, I work hard, I thwart myself, and thwart is a good word. I like that word, and it's fun to say, thwart. I abandon myself and others. I'm insecure, I'm impulsive, I invalidate myself, my feelings, I invalidate others, and I nullify, I negate. So, think about that as you come up to share. What do you gain when you abstain from negative thinking? And what do you get when you don't abstain? And the whole point is, I get to choose. If I acknowledge my negative thinking, then I get to choose to change it. If I never acknowledge, oh, and here's a Dr. Phil moment. Dr. Phil moment! I can't change what I don't acknowledge. That's super Dr. Phil, right? That's the only thing I like about that. I can't watch him. He drives me insane, but. Anywho. And negative thinking. But I can't acknowledge and I can't change what I don't acknowledge. But if I acknowledge that I have a thing with negative thinking, and I used to enjoy negative thinking, but now I don't enjoy it. And so now I want to change, and that is my choice. So as you come up to share your experience, strength, hope, what you do to abstain from negative thinking, what you get when you abstain, remember, we're all here to learn from each other. I'm not an expert, you know. I've been in program 13 years, 6 months, 28 days, and 1 meal. But I have 3 years and 7 months and 28 days. No, that's wrong. Something like that. Over 3 or 4 months, some to few days of abstinence. So, you know, that 3 years ago I made the choice. I'm in or I'm out. And if I'm in, I'm going to do everything I can to stay in to have a life. Because if I'm out, I'm off and running. This is my solution. Because I need a spiritual fix for my spiritual malady. And so I am here with you, and you can call me anytime. And just to qualify, Kelly L., Las Vegas, been in program, well, you know, 13 years, 122 pounds, and a few more to go, God willing. Otherwise, we're on to maintenance. See, I've resisted maintenance. Negative thinking! Because if I'm on maintenance, where do I go for maintenance? Holy crap! So, work in progress, that's me. All right, so let us share, and if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them when we're done. And don't forget to sign your name.
Hi, everybody. I'm Roberta, compulsive eater from Orange County, California. I have a real-life example of negative thinking. I was the keynote speaker Friday night, and I had prepared ahead of time saying, I'm a compulsive eater. I know this really well, and I have lots to talk about. I want you to talk for half an hour. I'm going to tell stories. And I got up there, and I told every story I could think of, and I was like, it's 10 minutes to go, and I was like, I have nothing else to say. And so I went, okay, that's it for me. Thank you for letting me share. I didn't end with a punch or just great, good job, have a great. I just went back to my seat. And then I kicked myself. How could you have let that happen? And this is how I dealt with it. I was just being, you'd screwed up. What you? And I wrote about it. I talked about it with my sponsor. I talked about it with other people. I prayed about it a little bit. And then a day passed, and then today arrived, and I was still thinking about it. And I wrote it down, and I talked about it with other people. And so with me, with negative thinking, I just accept it. I don't want to fight it anymore. Whatever my head's going to throw at me, yeah, give me your worst. I didn't do what I thought. It was still okay. Nobody's thinking about you as much as you're thinking about you, and it's okay. Just accept it. Just accept it, but work my tools. Make my calls, write about it. And the analogy that I have is, John and I don't have any kids. But I've seen parents with kids when they go to a restaurant and the kids are screaming and the parents just go, come along. They just put the kids in the car or the grocery store, wherever they're going, and they just bring the kids along. And that's how I view my negative thinking. I can't make my negative thinking go away, so I just accept it and I go, let's go. We're going to go work our tools anyway. Come along. And eventually the negative thinking will either stay or it will go away, but I work my tools anyway. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kathy H. from L.A. area. Thank you so much for sharing with all of us about your scary head. It was interesting because she started off with an acronym about and a story about a terrorist, right? See, I was taking notes. That's good. And you talked about that's what terrorists, you know, they want to kill us. And so as I was taking notes while she was speaking, she started talking about negative thinking, and she said judgment, judging, abandonment, and the critical. So I'm an acronym kind of gal. It helps me in my brain. And so I wrote down J-A-C, judgment, abandonment. I had to deal a little bit with abandonment when Ginger left this side to come to this side. I'm like, really? I thought she was my friend. Wow. Okay. Work in progress, right? Like, oh my gosh, I seriously, like, she just left our side and went to the other side. Okay, so anyway, back to my notes. So, negative thinking, which you shared about, judgmental, you know, both ways, abandonment, and critical. So I wrote, that's Jack. Jack thinking. That's Jack. I mean, right? Like, right? Jacked up, right? So I'm like, okay, I got to come up with a K, because that's Jack thinking, that's how I think, and it sounds like a few other people in the room, including our speaker, thinks that way. And then all of a sudden, when I wrote it on my paper, Jack, J-A-C, right? And then I'm thinking, I'm trying to get the K, and I looked at the word, and my brain went back to terrorist, and I wrote the word hijacked. And Jack is right in the middle of the word hijacked. Is that amazing? Okay, raise your hand if you're a little amazed by the fact that, okay, I'm amazed. Doesn't matter if you're amazed. I'm amazed at how amazing God is to speak to me through words and letters. So hijack thinking, and this is what we do. It is a, like, the largest part of our problem, the hijack thinking. So back to that terrorist. There we are. Thanks for sharing.
Hi, I'm Karen Estesan. It doesn't sound on.
Hello.
I could see how you banged your tooth on this. It's pretty darn close. Anyway, my name is Karen. I'm recovering from compulsive eating. And I heard a Chinese proverb once that I really love it. It's, you can't stop a bird from landing on your head, but you can stop it from building a nest. And I guess that's how I try to view my negative thinking. I mean, I truly can't control thoughts that come into my head, but if I'm conscious enough, I can choose whether I'm going to dwell on them and build a story around them. So I ask God every morning to just help me be present and conscious and aware and ask for help when I need it. So that's one way I deal with it. The other thing I do a positive inventory every night where I write down what pleased me during the day, what in me made that possible, and I read it to myself the next day. So I know that whatever I focus on increases, so I really have to make a conscious effort to pick out what's going well, because I'll automatically focus on what I'm not doing, what's not going right. And, you know, I really pray to be one of those one-day-at-a-time people. I was very inspired by the panel yesterday. You know, but even if, let's say out of 30 days I had one slip, I think it's better to focus on the 29 days I abstained. And not that I don't want to do anything about the one day that I didn't. Of course, I want to address the underlying causes that created that. But it's so important to me to just focus on, you know, out of the 10 people in the room, focus on the 9 that like me, not on the 1 that doesn't. You know, that's what I really try my best. And I can't do this alone. That's the other thing. I cannot overcome compulsive eating or negative thinking on my own. And if it's really got a grip on me, make a call. And another thing is write, because things make perfect sense in my head, but once I write them down, I realize the complete and utter fallacy and bullshit it really is.
My name is Mary Pat. I'm a compulsive eater food addict. I'm from Carpinteria, California, and I'm very glad to be here. I wanted to share a tool that I learned early on in recovery, and that's called thought stopping. And we really can't stop those thoughts. If we have something to replace those negative thoughts when they're coming in. And the other thing that I found that I really needed to learn when I got here was to love myself, which was just didn't make sense at all to me at first. And I realized today that that's a major part of my recovery, is learning to love and forgive myself. So if something's going on in my negative thinking head, like somebody walks in the door and I have a judgment about them, I can stop that thought and I can say, I love myself. if somebody's sitting across the room that I have a judgment about, I can stop my thoughts in flight and say, I love myself. And I do that a lot in as far as, you know, and it's, you know, even on the highway, in the grocery store, all the time. You know, we're negative thinkers. That's a part of our disease. But there really is hope, and we really can stop it. Just stop it. Thank you.
Hi there.
Hi. Rebecca, compulsive eater. I wanted to share quickly a story about what helps me in my negative thinking. And a lot of it is, I too acknowledge, I really can't help the stuff that comes through this head, and of course I am responsible for how I entertain it. But part of the solution for me is I've been continuing to grow spiritually, which I hate saying that, because when I would be in the audience, they're like, what are they talking about? Because I wanted to know tangibly how you do that. So how I do that is I practice talking to my higher power like I would be talking to you. So what I started to say things are like, I'm just going to give you a short scenario. In the morning, I'm on my knees, and I'm saying my prayers, and I'm talking to God. I say my few rote prayers, but then I go, you know, I don't like that girl. She's nasty. Is she back? Tell me why you think she's nasty. So I tell him, specifically. And it doesn't have to be true. It says in the big book that our troubles, real or imagined, I have a lot of imagined, but they feel as true as the ones that are real in my life. So my disease and the negative thinking is the loudest I can imagine it can be. I always think it's the loudest. But what's louder is the whisper my God gives me to the answers he gives me. And so I'm learning to stay tuned and hear it. And I'm not any different than anybody else's. I've got to learn to, like, take a breath so that I can hear. My sponsor helped me by saying, because I say, I'm praying, I'm this, and that, and she goes, do you ever hear anything back? And I didn't, but now I do. It's a miracle, seriously. So, when I'm down, true story, so embarrassing, because I want you to think I'm all that. Not long ago, I had a person in our rooms. I was sponsoring them, and long story short, they dumped me. Anyway, and I love to say, good for you, get what you need, take care of yourself, but the truth was, I was really hurt. I gave my best, and of course my head's going, huh, you weren't good enough. You don't got nothing to offer, hammer, hammer, hammer. And so I went to God, and I said a whole bunch of things to God raw, how I felt about the chick, da-da-da-da-da. And mind you, I don't know them. And God's always acknowledging. I can say anything I want to my God, and he's, all right, huh. So if you say, huh, oh, hmm. I never get an eyebrow. I never get a, you shouldn't cuss. You never should say that about anybody. He says, oh. So what I came to was the fact at the end of the day, and this is the miracle for me, that I can see my own growth. The voice from God said, through me in my own words, while back, it seems like that person's doing the best they can with what they got. And did you know that they're the same as you? They're a compulsive eater in recovery, doing the best they can. Oh, all right. Okay. So I have to carry on. But anyway, I got lots of stories like that. And
I'm Sue. I'm a compulsive eater. I heard early on that negative thinking... they say negative thinking is a large part of our disease, is like saying water is a large part of the ocean. It just is. So once you acknowledge it, you get to move on. And negative thinking used to run my life. And at some point in time, I remember, I've got 18 years, and at some point in time, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, my very first thought was positive. And it was like, wow, the promises do come true. It's amazing. But what my sponsor used to tell me is, you go to visit in your head places you used to live. I used to live in negative thinking, and now I can go to visit, and I can say, oh, bad vacation, I'm out of here. And just stop it. It's okay to go to the negative thinking. It's not okay to live there and have it spiral and take you down. And so it just seems to me that I can make it that simple to not, you know, because I had someone I was talking to, while I'm on the phone, I hear the baby sneezed. Baby sneezed again. And she goes, oh, the baby sneezed. Oh, that means she's getting sick. That means the other kids are getting sick. That means we're all going to get sick. Oh, my husband doesn't have any more time off from work. He's going to lose his job. How are we going to pay the rent? Where? And I'm on the phone and I go, the baby sneezed. Say bless you, wipe her nose, and move on with your day. You know, the negative thinking, we don't have to live in it. That's our choice. Stay abstinent, be clear, and you can stay away from going down that rabbit hole. And if you start to share it. And sharing it lightens it up dramatically. And then people get to laugh at you, and it's fun.
Negative thinking. What I learned this weekend was, for me, I have to pause. That definitely need to pause, and I have all this literature at home that's gathering dust, and there's a lot of one-liners. But what do compulsive do? We got to read 5 or 6 one-liners, and I said, what did I read? Well, if you only read one, you would know, and that's what I need to do. Is just take time out, even if it's only 5 seconds or 5 minutes, and my day will be, you know, it will go better. And I notice it goes better. And no, I don't have a God that talks to me vocally, but I do get these, when I give him time and listen, he does say something to me or gives that thought, positive thoughts. Anyway, thank you.
And I would just like to thank you for coming to my little meeting. Thank you. So you give me more than I give you. I just want to thank you, and I hope that we are all together again next year. And today, we have today only, and tomorrow isn't guaranteed. But today I have a program. Today I have a sponsor. Today I have some abstinence. And so even though I've made plans for tomorrow and the next week, today I get to live in today. And so I want you all to live in today as well, and just know that I love you. I hope that we are all on this journey together for a long, 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 super long time. Thank you.